Blog Talk Radio.
All right, y'all can't hear me. Give me a second, y'all. Let me try something else out. Let me go somewhere else. Let me go to YouTube. I'm going to go to the video on my channel. And I'm going to play it from there. Where are we? Videos. This is the video right here. Let me go ahead and get straight to it. Get past it. It's gonna start probably about right here. So I'm gonna let the video play for a minute. And I'm gonna go back and check and see if y'all can hear it. If y'all can hear it, let me know. If you can't, let me know, and then I'll just try to explain it another way or something like that. All right, let me go back to see if y'all can hear this. No volume. All right, y'all. I gotta see if y'all can hear this. So I stopped the video for a minute, and I'm watching the chat to see if y'all can hear me. The call-in number is already, y'all, so y'all can call in. If y'all have any questions, just press 1. Let's see. What's good, Jerome? What needs to happen in awakening? Big protests in D.C. by a million people about police abuse to wake up politicians. These people are untrained sociopaths. I agree with that, psychopaths. I can't hear. These cops do not learn a cop. Do not learn a cop is in prison for life for kneeling on a man's neck, killing him. No volume. I see no volume, so he does not get a strike for using content from another channel. Well, I mean, you're allowed to, if I'm not mistaken, I believe you're allowed to use content from another channel, but you just got to provide some commentary on it, something like that. Video does not have volume. I can hear you talk. Let me know if y'all can hear, man. Let me know if y'all can hear. I'm trying to wait till I get some people to, you know, let me know if they can hear or not. I played some of the video from my channel. I need to know if y'all can hear it or not. If y'all can't hear it, then I really don't know what to do about that. Because I can hear it. It says no volume. So you probably couldn't hear it at all. Not really sure. Anything, y'all? Can y'all hear it? The video that I just played, could you hear it? Can y'all hear the video? I want to go back to it, but I got to make sure that y'all can hear it before I do that. All right, well, I mean, I don't hear nothing yet. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play the video. Hopefully y'all can hear it. I'm going to come back, and I'm going to check again. So let me, so y'all can't hear the video. Why y'all, I can hear the video on my end. I'm wondering why y'all can't hear it on y'all end. I don't know. But anyway, cannot hear audio or video. Okay. I don't know how to fix that. I'm not going to do it while we live. So what I'll do is I'll just go to something else, I guess. But anyway, dang, I wonder what happened. What happened with the audio? Just playing. I don't know what happened to it, y'all. But anyway, so I guess I'll just take some questions then. Let me turn this off. All right. So I guess I'll just take some questions. Thank you all for letting me know that, by the way. She has evolved. What, didn't I think we talked last night on my on one of my threads on my post. Did we not? I think you had some issues with understanding your case, if I'm not mistaken. You can call in right now. 803. Give me a second, y'all. Let me answer this. Got to take this call. Caller 6516. You're on the line. How you doing?
What's up, Dougie?
What's good? How you doing, man?
It's Jerome.
Oh, what's good, man? What's good? Hopefully they can, hopefully everybody else can hear. I don't know why they saying the audio is not working. I don't know why.
Yeah, I couldn't hear the video.
I don't know why.
I could hear you talking, but I couldn't hear the video when you played it.
That's weird. I wonder what's going on. I don't know. I don't even know how to fix it. I have to figure out how to fix it. So they're probably not going to be able to hear you. But go ahead.
Well, so I've been trying to like keep in touch with you, find out what how you was doing with your writ of mandamus at the Court of Appeals.
Oh, I did something. I forgot what I did though. I found something, and it basically told me that it was like basically I wasn't going to be able to get the writ granted, something like that. I think it was a case. Or I'm not sure what it was. I can't even remember what it was. But whatever it was, that was the reason why I didn't do it. So I just ended up filing an appeal instead. We're going through an appeal. I'm going through an appeal right now, and the case is pending. Right now they're just waiting on my brief, which is I'm about 90% done with the brief, and I don't have to turn it in until probably about another 2 weeks.
So when you say appeal, is it a criminal or a civil appeal?
Nah, this is civil.
Did you have to pay the fee?
The fine, you know, yeah, you got just go on and pay the fee, man. Just go on and pay it. Just pay it.
Yeah, but that's one of the things I'm going against is because when it's a criminal matter, there's case law that states when it's a criminal matter, there's no fee. It's an automatic right to appeal. The transcripts, you don't have to pay for those either. Those is automatically addressed by the court.
Yeah, you should be in. I think you're entitled to, I think, one free copy of the transcript, I think.
Well, that's what the case law says. But in my situation, they try to act like no. Well, they even didn't even answer that. They just basically said, if you don't pay the fee by so-and-so, they're not going to hear the case. That's basically how they did that.
What?
Even though I made objections, even though I made motions, even though I did a writ of mandamus to the Supreme Court to go above their head, they still try to require a fee to be paid, which I basically filed a motion in the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, which the case is pending in a civil federal suit prior to me even having appealed the case. And this because they've been stalling for years. But now that they did that, my motion was, okay, now the state appeals said this case is a civil matter because I got to pay for it. They're not giving my automatic appeal, so they're saying it's not a criminal matter, that it's a civil matter. So therefore, my federal lawsuit is a malicious prosecution on getting arrested for a civil matter. Get what I'm saying? They like trying to have their cake and eat it too.
Yeah, they can be a little tricky, man. You gotta, when you're dealing with these people, like you really gotta be on you gotta be on their neck, and you need to be in them books reading cases. going online, reading nothing but cases that are relevant to your cases, because they real slick. They're real slick.
Well, the only thing they're really getting done is keeping me from going forward from not only the lowest case, which was a traffic court, but from the appeals at the lower court level all the way up to the state appeals. They're trying not all the way to the Supreme Court appeals. So now that I got an injunction order at the federal court, because so you're going to deny, I already served jail time on this case. This is about principalities. It's about the principles of the matter. So if you don't convict me of something on a bench trial in your court, and you're going to go send a sheriff to my house and arrest me for that, and you're going to bring me into front of you in your court with your little attitude and sensitivity to the max, and I serve jail time on that, and I get out, and I appeal that case, by damn it, to me and anybody else that hear my words coming out of my mouth, that is a criminal appeal, correct?
Sound like if it was a criminal a case that you were just appealing.
It was not a civil matter at all.
So what the hell are they talking about then? That don't even make sense to me, man.
That's what I'm saying. But I had the original judge deny me my discovery for 2 years because they try to play like the whole COVID thing that happened, like they got backed up and all this. So they took 2 years off before they try to adjust some of these cases. But for 2 years, I didn't have a discovery. Right there, that's a Brady violation. But when I made a decision to, hey, your little case right here, you guys got to dismiss it because y'all ain't giving me no due process or nothing. So I filed a lawsuit against that judge. So he automatically mailed my discovery to the wrong address. I did not respond for the trial, so I didn't show up for the trial. And he held a bench trial in my absence. And then he sent the deputy sheriff directly to the real address to come arrest me, to bring me in front of him.
Yeah.
Wait, look, did you hear any of that? This fool should have been arrested for that. Like, you kidding me? You just do that?
That's what it seems like they did.
Well, my whole point is now that I'm appealing the whole situation, they saying that I don't have no access to the court because now it's a civil matter.
Well, hold on. Okay. So you were appealing your judgment when you got out of jail or something like that. You were filing probably some sort of due process, something like that, appeal or something like that maybe. And they didn't want to, I guess they denied it or something like that. And so you tried to petition.
State Court of Appeals denied my appeal because I didn't pay the filing fee because they said the case is a civil matter.
I don't get that. I don't know what they got going on. I have to study because that don't really make sense to me. I got people saying that they can't hear you. They can't. I wonder why they can't hear you.
You got something going on with your thing.
I don't know what's going on. I can hear you, so why can't nobody else hear you? I got the volume. I got to figure out how to fix that.
I couldn't hear none of that video.
I thought y'all heard everything, man.
Nah. Was watching it. I was reading it, but couldn't hear it.
I got to figure something out.
And then you would pause it, then you would start talking. I'd be like, man, I can hear him.
Fix that, man. Because this is messing up the live. I don't know how to fix it. So where's this microphone at? I don't know. I'll fix it later, I guess. But anyway, we'll just have to do what we do. Do what I can best so I can figure out how to fix it.
I was just saying, it's up to you how you want to go proceed. I don't know nothing about that stuff.
Leave. I'm sorry, y'all. I do apologize. I have a call on the line, and I'm talking to him. I know y'all probably like, what am I doing? But I'm talking to somebody, but y'all can't hear him. And I don't know why y'all can't hear him, so I got to figure out what's going on. This is just messing up the lines. Bad. So I guess I'll read something or something until somebody has a question. I guess we'll do a Q&A. We'll do it like that from the chat. Because I don't know what's going on. I got both of the microphones hooked up, and I can't figure out what it is.
So basically, I'm basically at a standstill to the federal court get back involved with the injunctions, which they're going to possibly deny. But basically, right now, it's just principles. I'm just doing the out of principle. I've already served jail time on this.
Yeah, I got you.
Because I made my argument. How the lower court, well, how they want to do here in South Carolina, this is the first state I've been to, how they treat you. But when you say you want to represent yourself, they automatically act like, oh, no, you can't do that. They don't make determinations to say, oh, how much education that you have. They don't give you no questionnaires like that. They just basically see that as like, oh, no, you can't do that, which is a violation of the Sixth Amendment right. So once I said that and I started making all these arguments, so basically all my arguments when it comes to traffic stops comes down to a standing party of some type of damages for the cop to treat you like a criminal. He has to have probable cause of some type of crime that you damage somebody or their property. And that comes in a word called corpus delicti.
That corpus delicti, if that element is missing,
the cops have no probable cause, even if they have probable suspicion, probable I think so, probable maybes. If they don't have probable cause with the corpus delicti having like, hey, you just hit that person back there with your car. They don't have that. They don't lawfully to me for the letter of the law and how this case law is working out. They don't have proper probable cause in a traffic stop, because what they would need is your consent, because this is some quasi-administrative jurisdiction. This is not a criminal.
That's what's going on. That's exactly what's going on.
So you see what I mean, how they want to turn it on and turn it off when it suits them? When it's at the traffic stop all the way up to the court to you getting convicted, it's criminal. But the moment after your conviction, and now it's about your appeals, oh, it's civil matter. This is civil. We're just a civil administrative process. We did everything we were properly we were supposed to do, and blah, blah, blah. That's basically what we facing. Because guess what? Any and everybody that's going to represent you in this, what I'm talking about, is going to be a bar member. They have to be a bar member. And that means automatically out the jump, there's a conflict of interest if the judge is going to be a bar member and everybody that's going to be representing the case on the opposition is going to be a bar member. And the person I get that's a stranger to me that don't know my case is going to be a bar member. That's suspicious.
Every last one of them, man. Every last one of them.
So, you know, I think I exhausted my state remedy. I got the Supreme Court to basically literally put it in writing. They said they were not going to entertain my writ of mandamuses. I was waiting for them to make some type of argument where I was wrong. They just basically said they wasn't even going to hear them. So if you're not going to hear, like, that poses a problem. But they know they're the highest court. They know this situation.
Stuff like this is just going to keep happening. It's not going to stop until people just get pissed off. And it's the people's responsibility to check the government.
Well, that's funny that you said that. It's funny that you said that because I've written the Attorney General of the country, Ms. Vanita Gupta, which is the Department of Justice, And you know how slow they get along to getting anything. But this is my second inquiry toward the Department of Justice to come get involved in the state, because I basically talked to every state official there is, from the governor to legislators to the captains and lawyers of the police department. It got to a point where I told the department, or the attorney general of the whole country, like, you know, look, I got PTSD. I'm just trying to deal with this. This court said this civil. This court says it's criminal. I already went to jail. But guess what? I ain't going to jail again for no traffic violation. One, because I'm operating under the highest court's authority of the state. And they said it's civil matters. So when a cop approaches me with any type of criminal intent in his voice, I'm going to let him know. But after that, if it continues on, I guarantee you I'm going to equal my force given his force trying to take me or my property to anywhere.
You got to be careful with them folks, man. Them folks dangerous, because some of these folks really think that they are doing the right thing. They are that slow. And they really think that people who think like me and you are crazy. But these people don't do no research. They don't read anything. They just believe what other people tell them. Police officers are not even, they didn't even exist at common law. Police officers are created via statutes.
Yep. But
I think
I've established enough paper trail and issues and lawsuits that if anything that did happen like that to me, one, let it be like, you know, paying it forward and taking one for the team. I would like to think that there's enough paperwork out there that all the weekend warriors that get on the computers and be on patient and be like, wait a minute, this motherfucker said this in one lawsuit and this county end up killing, you know. I think there'll be a lot of paper trail out there talking about my fears through this corrupt process.
Yeah.
It's been well established. So
if it did
happen, guess what, homie? I ain't promised tomorrow, no way. I'm already on borrowed time as it is. I ain't supposed to even be here. I'm supposed to be gone with my mama. But my whole point is, while I'm here, it's like I decide to stand up and fight instead of laying down and fight. Last time I went to jail with Lee, and y'all want to talk in your paperwork, well, he consented. Oh, so you saying if I don't consent, that'll create what? An appealable issue?
Man, them folks down. Huh. Boy, them folks, they are crazy. I don't have no sympathy for them folks, man. When somebody go upside of one of their head or knock one of them off, I don't have no sympathy for them. Whoever knocked one of them off, I'm trying to figure out who they are so I can send them some bond money and try to help them with their case.
I want to be an aggressor, though, because I'm going to be handing my own video. But I am one that you ain't just going to out strengthen me from my background and what I know I could do, but we're going to grapple. We're going to roll on ground. I'm going to get you in a situation where you're going to need your homies. Let's put it like that. Where you get your homies. Go get your homies. You're going to need the homies. And I'm going to let you know before you touch me. Yeah, you better get your homies because you ain't cut out for that.
Don't let them label you a vexatious litigant. You don't want to get that title.
Well, see, this is the thing. They've already done what they've done. I've been on live PD. I've kind of had like the spiritual path set for me, if you would say. Let's put it like that. I've been drugged through the dirt on purpose by God during these little encounters that's just intricately, to specially just in the gray area enough that if it went the wrong way, because I'm on live PD, I made live PD go off air for almost 2 years. And then they went on court TV, and then the moment, like, they threw out my lawsuit or whatever, they came back, and then I managed to find them hiding out in the back of a Richland County Sheriff SUV in the back part, that pulled in the back of behind me in the Dollar General, and they was going after another brother who had a little paper tag in his vehicle who had just pulled up in front of me. And I happened to walk in the store, and the store manager knew the guy. And the store manager, I guess, was approached by the sheriff and was talking about they're going to arrest that guy as soon as he pulled up. They let the manager of the store know this. And I had asked the manager, who are they talking about? Because obviously I'm thinking they're talking about me. But they was talking about the other brother. So when they pulled off and I happened to see who they had in the back seat, the manager confirms, oh, yeah, they had live PD. So as a concerned citizen, I called my Richland County top brass, and I dealt with her. And she wanted to act like, well, we have nothing to do with live PD. And I go, excuse me, ma'am, I already sued y'all once, and I could sue you again. But it's not what you have to do with live PD. It's what your oath and your duty is to the community is what the problem is. Live PD is laying in wait to create situations to pull over citizens using your officers. Your officers represent us as taxpayers. They are servants to us, so are you. But if they're going to hide, I said, man, if you have a problem with that, go to Fine and Danny. Do not do nothing. Do not say nothing. When I see them hiding behind a car in the parking lot, raining the lamp, I'm going to make my own video, and I will sue you guys again. Thank you very much. You have a nice day. And the bitches ain't been back to my county since. And if they have been, you know, but that's how we had to do as citizens. You know, y'all can make money off of all this. Y'all can create situations. It's marketable like that. But the moment you trying to make them liable in a court, they like, oh, I didn't do this. No, oh, I didn't do that.
I got a case that's it's bad. It's bad. He beat the case now in a motion to suppress hearing. He beat the case. So we just suing him right now.
You mean he beat the criminal case?
Yeah, he beat the criminal case. He said it cost him like $50,000 damn near to beat it, which is crazy because they lied. It's a bunch of stuff, man. All they do is lie, man, generally speaking.
But did he win in the trial? He won in the trial?
He won it on a motion to suppress hearing because they misrepresented materially false inculpatory evidence to a judge to secure a search warrant. And then they did the same thing to the jury to secure an indictment. And then they lied on the police reports.
Those are all Brady violations.
Yeah, not only that, they are the people who they are, the alleged witnesses, a.k.a. the complaints who they talked to, who they allegedly talked to, they didn't even get them to testify at the grand jury hearing or the motion to suppress hearing, which is very odd.
There's no affidavit.
That is very odd. Well, no, there's an affidavit for a search warrant, but it's the judge, he didn't believe in it. He didn't find anything that the officer said credible, and he said that they had no right to be on this man's property, and that they unlawfully searched his property, and so on and so forth. Crazy.
As long as he got the dismissal or the non conviction, that's not lawsuit for him.
Yeah, he good.
And see, I'm figuring that out now because the way my cases is I was like Tupac. I bombed first real quick. I just smacked him. I went straight to the federal government. They like, hey, you got to go to the state. You got to appeal this at the state level. You know what I mean? I took it all the way there.
They say, like, if you're trying to sue them and there's a pending criminal case.
Yeah,
or
you
got to
handle that case first.
Yeah, you got to handle that first. Or they'll say your claim is heck barred. It's barred by Hick v. Humphrey. So, in other words, but here's the thing, though. Let's say it's 10 or 20 years later, and then, you know, you finally get the case overturned and you get it ruled in your favor. You can sue them for that, what happened 20 years ago.
Well, see, that's where I'm at now. My lawsuit, my federal lawsuit that got dismissed from federal court here in South Carolina, mm-hmm. I appealed in the court of Virginia. Well, the Fourth Circuit had put it in that motion, what you just said, that heck. So I just now got to the Court of Appeals and the Supreme Court to handle this case, and they're refusing to hear it, mind you, because they're considering it civil, and I got to pay the court filing fee. So,
wait, say that one more time.
I can't appeal the case because they consider it civil, and I must pay the filing fee.
You're talking about you can't appeal your civil case?
No, I can't appeal my criminal case. My civil case has nothing to do with my criminal case other than I'll try to sue the state troopers that arrested me.
I don't see how that's it's – the only way that I can see that you can get a civil case out of a criminal case is, let's say, you –
No. See, you're mistaken. The criminal case and the civil case are two different things.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
My federal case, I filed before the criminal case even happened because 2 years had passed during COVID and these fools was ignoring all my motions at the lower court. It wasn't until I sued the lower court judge at federal court did this judge send all my discovery to a different address without my notification or anything, made a trial date, had a trial without me, and found me guilty. Then,
man, that's it's over. That's void. All of that's void. You mean to tell me that this judge, this is a criminal case, and this judge sent all of your discovery to the wrong address, and they had a trial without you. A
yes.
criminal trial without you and adjudicated
yes.
you guilty. Are you saying that's what happened? Man, that's void. I ain't know what that
and
shit
wait,
is. That is void. Well,
hold on. Hold on. This all happened 2 years after the original, arrest because of COVID and all that, right? But mind
mm-hmm.
you, I'm my own attorney in this case. He wanted to ignore me, ignore my motions so bad. Huh?
Go ahead, I'm listening.
He wanted to ignore my motion so bad and treat me like, I'm not going to respect you as no attorney, that the address that he sent all my discovery to, the person had to put out an affidavit of facts. Like, he said, oh, no, these troopers came here. I argued with them. Like, this is not this person's address. They want to leave it anyway. And, they made me sign and give my driver's license. Mind you, I'm in jail at this time. When I get out of jail, I got that affidavit from him. So when I did the appeal, they didn't even want to put the affidavit in, bruh.
Man, they can't deny that unless it was not considered in the trial court or something like that. But you could have made an affidavit, but they probably would have excluded that too. But you still had a
I got it in, but they tried to deny it. I got it in sneakily because it was weird. My little appellate court, you know how those old lower courts are. They take recesses and make the little court last longer than what that would. That happened to me because she had to have another hearing. And she tried to be, oh, sweet and baby, we in the South. And she tried to seem helpful, but end up she just playing the part. She trying to save the other judge. So when she went on this recess, she told me to get with the court clerk and go through all the paperwork, make sure we got everything, da-da-da-da. So when she left, before she had left, she had told me I can't bring that affidavit in. When I met up with the court clerk, I went ahead, oh, you don't got this. So she's like, oh, okay, let's put it on the record. So I put it on the record. So when
did
the judge came back, she didn't know about it. So fast forward now to when I'm doing the appeal, they don't want the transcripts to hit the court. Because, one, I got the lowest court, the first judge committing Brady violations and crime. Like, you know, one, I could prove he sent my discovery to a whole different address. He knew it. And in their argument of doing it, they tried to say the address was wrote down wrong by me because there's a N instead of a T, and they said I wrote the T differently. That's not even the case. The whole address itself is wrong. Like, it's a whole different street, whole different numbers. Like y'all argument ain't even in the ballpark. What y'all talking about? So they're doing everything to save these two lower judges. So basically, now that I'm at the Court of Appeals and I made threats with them already, guess where? With the child support agency when I went to appeal my child support case. So the Court of Appeals know me very well, and they don't like me. Because guess what? I found four of the eight used to work with DSS or family court or some type of child support agency DSS worker to some degree in their past. So I therefore called them all out by name and said, hey, in your own bio, you says that you work with child support and family court. Can you please recuse yourself because I would consider you conflict of interest. Correct?
It's a possibility, but just because they work for these agencies, that doesn't necessarily mean that they would have been biased against you.
Okay. But if you make that argument and you bring that up and you make a record of it and you make it public, what does that do?
What? You bring what up? The argument that
everything
I just said?
Everything that you just said. I made all those statements. I made all those claims. It doesn't automatically make it so. But what normally happens when you do something like that? When you file something, there's a response.
Oh,
they
okay.
have opportunity to say, hey, that's incorrect. Hey, that's wrong. Hey, this and that. You know what I'm saying?
You want them to play by the rules. They ain't finna. You can forget about that, man. They
I wasn't expecting them to play by the rules. I wasn't even expecting a fair ball game. I was throwing it in their face and letting them know exactly what time it is, what time I knew it was. Like, I don't expect this to be fair. Y'all got cleats and shoulder pads and helmets. Y'all gave me this basketball. Hold on. you hear what I'm saying? I might be a pro se litigant.
You're a real fool.
But hold on. And I blew it out the water, and they just went ahead and just said, oh, we're going to play this game. Oh, this is a civil matter. You got to pay. And the last time I paid for the child support case, they hurried up and dismissed the case. Like, immediately, right after they waited till I paid. So they couldn't wait to dismiss it till I paid. Like, by the time I got home, I got the dismissal in the mail. Like, I did. And then they try to say, we don't got jurisdiction. But how do you not have, nigga, I just paid. Like, how do you know that already? And if you knew that quick, why didn't you let me know before I paid?
Oh, everything. Straight up.
So I had a taste of both of their left hand and their right hand. So I already knew what time it was. That's what made me do the writ of mandamus. I was like, all right, I'm going to take this even above y'all. They ain't even acting right with me. Look. And then the highest court just said, you know what? We're going to stay out of that. But I'm like, hey, hold on, though. This is about a right. This is about my federal. It's a federal question. It's my right here. I have a right to appeal a case, bruh. And you haven't established how I don't have that right. All you just said is I got to pay for a right. And if you're going to say I got to pay for a right, explain to me how that works. Because I ain't working right up here in the head to understand that when you just say that.
When you're dealing with stuff like that, like if you're reading a statute and you're not really sure, then I would advise you to just go and read cases on it to see if
I had case precedent. I had nine different case precedents from the highest court of our land in regards to pro se litigants filing criminal appeals do not have to pay for transcripts or filing fees. I had 9 cases, bro. 9. 9. And all they did is like this, bro. They didn't even say, well, on the first one, it's blase, blase, blase. On the second, they didn't even do that. Because they're the highest court of the land and the judiciary here in this state and in Virginia get to do in-house oversight without nobody having any peeks at what's going on. They just say, we are not going to even entertain that. And what you going to do about it? We're the highest court of the land. So now I got to go back to the federal court and bring to them how it's my right being violated here. My right to appeal is a right, to protect the right.
They don't play fair. They try to wear you out. They try to make up all these excuses. I had a judge one day. He wasn't expecting me to know what was going on, and so when he realized that I knew what was going on, he ran out of the courtroom. He sent the damn state trooper in there to scare me. Told me they was gonna hold me in contempt of court for showing off the judge or whatever. I don't know what they got going on, but anyway, long story short, I didn't pay that fee, and I ain't had no warrant issued for my person. So I must have said or did something right. But they did try to scare me though.
Well, see, I'm kind of in a limbo like that right now. Like, so since all my cases and all this had all started years ago, since then ain't no new one started. Ain't no new cases came up. Ain't no new arrests. You feel me?
Yeah.
You feel me on that? And we kind of got it to where you stay over there, I'm going to stay over here. I haven't gotten to a situation just yet to validate and make sure that's 100%. That's what it is. But let's put it this way. When I live my life, when I leave my house, I leave my house with the intent that this could be that one last day. This could be that one time. You feel me?
Yeah,
and everything
I feel
that I play in my mind.
That's really true.
Is to play in my head exactly what I want to say, what I want the jury to hear, what I want them to see when I'm holding my video camera. And I want it to all be according to the exercise of a right. I want it to be coherent. I want it to be non-threatening without anger, but loud enough and coherent enough to be properly and reasonable articulated for the ear to hear that. Yeah, that brother right there.
Yeah, he know what he's talking about. That's what you got to do with these people, man. You have to really, when they start asking you questions, are you a sovereign citizen, and start saying that you need a mental evaluation. Well, you know, if they did that to me, I would say, Your Honor, I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just repeating everything that your colleagues are saying. So if you want to call me crazy or call me a sovereign citizen, then essentially you're calling your colleagues crazy and a sovereign citizen, because the only thing that I'm doing the same thing that you're doing, Your Honor. You state everybody's state opinions, because don't nobody know the truth for real. The only thing that they're doing is repeating other opinions of other judges, so-called judges. That's all they're doing all over the goddamn country.
But what we got to do is flip it right back on them. It does not matter what you believe that I might be. What matters is, what are you being paid to do? Your duty and your efforts of your servitude, everything that you do to service me, the sovereign, however you might want to view that, it is what? Moot. Right?
It's irrelevant.
It has nothing to do with what you will to be doing, right? So let's put it. We gotta learn how to put that shit right back over there in your court.
I agree. I'm not answering any more questions. I'm going, when they ask me a question, I'm gonna ask their ass a question. That's
well,
what I'm
you know
I'm not
what
giving
the bond,
no answer.
You know how you do the bonds, so you're familiar with the bonds. We know this. So what I've been trying to do is get into a dialect with them where I start off the situation like, look, sir, I'm going to offer you the most utmost respect. How's your evening doing tonight? Hopefully it's good. Hopefully it continues to be that way. But this can go two ways, and hopefully it can go the best way for both of us. So tonight, all I have to say is I'm going to be leaning this way. I've been making efforts to handle this way in the best way possible in the courts. And as you know, these courts are not exactly fast. But what I'm doing tonight is nothing criminal at it at all. And you will be able to articulate that, and your mind should be reasonable to see that that is a fact. So tonight, I want to know, if you proceed to go any further without my consent, I would just want, according to state law, South Carolina states 8-3-230 states, that if I ask for your surety bond, you must produce that. Can I have that tonight if you're going to ask me for anything else from here on out tonight, sir? And I kind of want to get into where they make their reasonable choice to go forward from that part. Because you know if they do go forward, you know they are always trying to go all the way in. They in the paint. So you
That's
better
good.
Be
That's
quiet
from that point on.
Let them do what they do. You feel me?
That's
because
good.
They're not going to give you the policy number.
I was going to say that's shocking and good that they actually require them to give you their surety bond once you ask for it. I'm shocked that that's even.
Yeah.
Are you reading that statute right? No offense, but
yes,
are you reading that statute right?
Absolutely. Hold on. I'll even give it to you so you
that's
can look
crazy.
It up yourself.
That's crazy, man.
You didn't. You never heard of that? Every state has it because every state that deals with state tort laws has that.
No, I didn't know that. I got to check that out because I didn't know that. I'm shocked. Like, I'm very shocked about that.
Hold on one second. I'm looking it up now.
All right. That's good, though. That's what you need. They don't have, man.
The reason why I say that is because I'm filming. And if you film yourself asking a public servant for their bond and they refuse, that refusal is against the law.
Oh, so it's some sort of criminal action or something like that.
Well, it's a requirement in order for any public service worker to work in public, they must be insured. And that insurance bond is to be sued upon. And on request, it should be furnished. I'm still looking for it.
All right.
I used to have it saved on my phone, but it just clogged me up. My phone went slow, so I erased a whole bunch of stuff. But hold on. I'll get it for you.
All right. If you have any questions, just and when you call into the show, just press 1 and I'll turn your microphone on. Let me go to this chat. I finally was able to fix the volume so everybody can hear it. I said they're all contracts and child support. Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, it's also malicious prosecution too, JR. The guy's case, man, I have probably about 22, 23, not over 24 causes of actions.
I got it.
All right, go ahead.
So if you look up, just Google South Carolina Code of Laws 8-3-220.
South Carolina.
And not only 220, you got 210. 230, 240, basically that whole code speaks on the bond, but that's where I'm talking about where if you request it. So 8-3-210 is the one I'm talking about.
Okay,
the state officers State officers and employees shall advise interested persons as to bonds and furnish copies. Any officers, agents, servants, or employee in any office in the state or any of the boundaries of bureaus or departments.
Mm-hmm, I see it. Commissions or other instrumentalities upon request, therefore, by any interested person shall supply such person with information as to whether any person employed in any office, board, bureau, department, commission, agency, or other instrumentality of the state is bonded for any purpose, and if so, furnish such interested person with a copy of such bond. State office.
Read the next one. Read the very next one.
The bond of any public officer in this state may at any time be sued upon by the public, any corporation or private person aggrieved by any misconduct of such public officer. Certified copies of bonds delivered to parties to suit on request for the purpose of any suit brought under Section 220, under 8.3, 220, the officer or officers for the time being, with whom such bond may be filed or recorded upon application at his or their office, shall deliver to any person applying therefor and paying the fees for doing so an exact and certified copy of the bond. So it seems like they're required to register this bond or deposit this bond somewhere locally, maybe, record or something like that Section 230.
I know my sheriff's department is different than the city police department. So you got some departments who are required to have surety bond blanket coverage. Then you got some of them who might require individual insurance. So if you're employed with us, you're going to have to go out and go get your own insurance for your own surety. Here's a list of the sureties in our county that does those, and you're going to have those in order to work in our county, correct? So what I'm saying is you're turning this into a tort claim action with all the wording that you would need for that insurance investigator to come see about your claim. And when your claim is, because one of the requirements to having surety insurance is what? It's the most important thing.
You said one of the what?
The most important things of having surety insurance. The bond. Important thing of having that?
Hold on, I'm a little lost. What are we getting at? What's the question? I'm a little lost. I'm sorry.
So if you're a police officer working as a police officer and you're required to have insurance to be a police officer, the most important thing about that insurance?
It needs to be, I think it has to be a certain amount.
Mean to that regard. I mean to the regard of the insurance company.
The most important thing
for all insurance companies is to not pay out any claims, correct? Pay out nothing.
Their
goal is to have zero claims and zero accidents this season from anybody, correct?
It says zero accidents. That's what I was trying to get people to understand, man. When you're suing them, it's a claim. It's an insurance claim.
Exactly. So my whole point of that is you're recording this officer and you're recording him and his response to your question of his duty to answer you about what? His insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And what his insurance company requires him to say? Here you go. Because they deny it, guess what? They violated their own insurance policy. by mere denying it. It says it in their policy. Whenever this is asked for, give it. Like, you are outside of this. This is up to us now. The insurance company has their own ways of dealing.
Hold on, Rockwood. I want to explain something to somebody. I mean, to some people who don't know this.
Okay.
When you are filing, a matter of fact, y'all give me a second. I'm gonna read y'all the contract that I signed, the non-disclosure agreement. I'm gonna read it to y'all. Give me a second. I'll be right back. Let me go get it out of my office. I mean, out of my closet. All right. Some of this stuff I'm not going to tell y'all because I can't. I signed a non-disclosure agreement, so I can't tell you everything. What is this, 5 years? Let's see. Okay. It says the title of this is, they call it a release agreement. That's the title of it. Isaac Davis, for and in consideration of the sum, and then it's the money, you know, it's the amount that I settled for, the receipt and sufficiency of which is hereby acknowledged, which is me receiving the bill of exchange or the promissory note or the negotiable instrument, which is in other words, the check, for and on behalf of himself, his heirs, personal representatives, successors, and assigns separately and severally, hereby releases, acquits, satisfies, indemnifies, holds harmless, and forever discharges Justin Holyfield and Brandon Breland, their heirs, personal representatives, successors, assigns, parent, or subsidiary, or affiliation corporation. It just goes on and on and on and on and on and on. Representative departments, agencies, insurers, and prior and current employers, past and present, the City of Chickasaw and the City of Chickasaw's Police Department and all other parties that were or could have been sued in this litigation. All such parties collectively referred herein as defendants for all injuries, damages, claims, actions, and causes of actions. This is a damn insurance claim, man. When they violate your rights, that is an injury. That's what they call an injury. And as a result of you sustaining that injury, let's say they violate your Fourth Amendment.
They're called a tortfeasor.
Yeah, tortfeasor. That's what they call them. They call them tortfeasors.
Because this is a tort.
Yeah,
this is all tort.
This is. I'm gonna tell y'all something that y'all probably don't know. 42 section 1983 lawsuit is a quasi common law lawsuit. The reason why I say quasi is because an action at law, I mean, a remedy at law is money. You're asking for money, but there is no fucking money. Not only that, you're doing it under a statute, and ain't no statutes in common law. So what I'm trying to get you to understand is you can do this same shit without using statutes, but they don't want y'all to know this shit, man.
Your Bill of Rights. Your Bill of Rights.
Yeah, you can use the Constitution.
You use your Bill of Rights as a cause of action. I was denied this right. You know, you use that as a cause of action. I was denied my Sixth Amendment right, and this is how.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a cause of action.
So how you would do that is you would invoke a court's original jurisdiction under the Constitution, not under a statute. So when you do it under the Constitution, the court is in its proper status. Now, it is actually a sovereign administrator. It's an agency that was actually created by the true sovereign, which is the people. It's a superior court of general jurisdiction. Courts of general jurisdiction hear all cases. They hear cases at law, in equity, maritime, and admiralty.
But see, this is what I'm saying about this whole tort situation. This is where I'm trying to get better at it. Where we're talking about this and that state law that I gave you to look up,
uh-huh,
and this insurance, We're talking about state tort claims. State tort claims are handled at the circuit court. You file state torts, and when you file a state tort, the insurance company comes and contacts you, and you go through.
It's an insurance claim. You're right. You're right about that. Yes. Makes sense. It's an insurance claim.
So what I'm saying to us at these traffic stops when we're dealing with these courts who don't want to what? One, establish the right to travel or to rule on any type of common law. They all want to go to their administrative quasi whatever direction.
That's why they want
to
keep it at. That's what, because they don't have no power in there. But you, it is perfect. I'm telling y'all right now, there are court. I'm sorry to cut you off, Jerome. I'm sorry, man. There are common law courts, a court of general jurisdiction, or what they call it. They call it superior courts or a court of general jurisdiction. It's the same damn thing. How you invoke common law jurisdiction is you file a declaration at law, which is a common law complaint or whatever. And you so-called pay the filing fee in gold or silver. That's all you're doing. And you're doing the same shit that you're doing a 42 section 1983 lawsuit, except for you're not alleging some sort of statutory jurisdiction. You're invoking the jurisdiction under the Constitution as opposed to...
You're talking about federal court. You're talking about federal court.
No, both of them, federal court and state court.
Yeah, you can bring an 83, but it's better to do it at the federal court.
What I'm saying is you don't need statutes to do any of this shit. That's what I'm telling. That's what I'm trying to get people to understand. But they don't.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about. I'm talking about a whole different thing. This ain't even about. All right. So we're bringing it even out of like even the Constitution and the rights, and we're bringing it out even outside of that even. What I'm trying to establish here is before a cop can even be a cop and be out there in your face being a cop, saying the cop stuff that cops say, if you understand what this state law requirement for your cop to have insurance and to know that policy and to give it, if you make a video asking for this insurance, quoting this law and everything that's involved with this insurance policy with this cop on a video at a traffic stop, you should be able to win any insurance claim. And what I mean by that is if you make a tort claim and you go after his insurance and not make this a lawsuit situation like your rights or anything other than the rights he violated during that traffic stop, if you make it just like this claim, this insurance company has every right to fire this person. Matter of fact, everybody that really gets a claim on them, they drop you anyway, like automatically, because you're a liability.
Yeah.
So they automatically
do that.
It's the
same thing like car insurance, man. It's the same exact thing. That's all it is.
So my point is to try to be like preemptive. When it comes to having to sue a motherfucker, you can be preemptive in how you're doing is very nicely, very politely, and then it could work its way into a federal lawsuit if they decide just to whoop your butt on camera on a YouTube Live or something. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying to get more preemptive on what they supposed to be doing, Craig. You know, you all up in my face, what I'm doing, what you supposed to, you get me, feel me? Because going to their courts, you already see the size. They, like I said, they ain't even playing the right sport. These fools got on spike cleats. They got pads, helmets, face mask. You know what I'm saying? They just gave us a volleyball, dog. threw us over a white beater and said, here your jersey. they not try to play fair. They not going to play fair. And you got to get them in some extreme situations. You got to file extremely clear and logical, just it's so much more difficult to go the other route versus what it is you're supposed to be doing, Craig, because just this one little thing, just like five little things I got to memorize for said cop. And you know what? They might not work in the criminal aspect. I still might get arrested anyway for whatever reason. But my point is, as long as I got a video of this that I can send to the insurance investigator, and that investigator could say, well, he was asking you for the insurance, and part of the policy is you have to disclose that insurance.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You feel me?
This is all commercial, man. They all corporations. If they not corporations and this is not commercial, why do they have insurance? Because all of them have insurance.
And this can go on and on and on and on and on. Everyone you come across. So you get arrested and you go to jail. And then you're going to have your arraignment, and guess what? There's going to be a little magistrate, administrative pretender up there talking about do-do-do-do-do. You're going to be like, sir, according to the law of 8-2-da-da-da-da-da, what it is you supposed to be doing? You feel
hey,
me?
Hey, look, I got another caller on the line, man.
I wanted to touch base on what you were doing with that appeal. I'll let you know
what happens, you know, what the disposition was once I get it back. They probably not going to rule on it until probably about next year maybe or something like that. But I'll let
you
know.
Yeah, they are slow. They are slow. But I appreciate your time, bro.
All right,
take
man.
Take it easy. All right.
Same to you.
Later.
All right. All right. Caller 2872. Good evening. How you doing?
Good evening. How you doing?
I'm good.
I had questions in regards to the last caller in regards to a case that I have going on currently, but I was curious about that state code that he's talking about with these bonds, because that's a major issue that I'm having here in Kentucky. It's a lot of dirty attorneys, dirty judges. And they refuse to give you the bonds information when you ask for it because they know that you're going to file a claim. And when you file a claim against their bonds, that means that you're out of here, especially when you can prove that you all are committing crimes on government property with American flags, with gold fringes, and it's people with certain skin color. So I was curious to know about the code that he just said that by state, because if that's in that state, that means every state has a code that says that.
Well,
I want to know that code.
It's not in that. I mean, that particular code is not in every state, but that.
I know it's not going to be that particular code, but each state would have their own code.
Yeah, you got that, man. You got to go on a wild goose hunt to find that. Because
he was saying it was something about a surety bond.
Yeah, they have bonds. They some of them are gonna have. I'm not sure if you looked at the videos on my channel, but I show you.
Now, I just want to know what was he saying to where I can research it. What was the key word? What was he saying? And what state was that that he was speaking of?
I think he was talking about South Carolina.
South Carolina. I couldn't pull up that code.
You say what?
I couldn't pull up that code for South Carolina. My main question is,
go ahead.
For the 42-1983s.
Okay.
These lawsuits, do you post things to help write the summons and the certain procedures that have to be followed when you have those cases? My problem is not my understanding. I have very good understanding of the law. My problem is formatting those motions.
I think I did probably about 3 videos on it. So
okay, I have to go for your video.
Yeah, let me see if I can find the video. They're very easy. All of it is easy. It is all once you realize how easy this is, you're gonna be like, damn, it's like that. Yes, it's just like that. They very easy. Let me see if I can find the videos for you. Because I think I did about 3 of them. I'm gonna post them into the chat. links.
Okay. Yeah, because that was one of my main questions, what he just touched on, was going to be for the claim that has now made it to the federal courts, is that I have issues with the bonds information. When you ask these public officials, these public servants, mm-hmm. for their bonds, mm-hmm. and they tell you, some of them try to tell you that they ain't supposed to have one, and yes, you are. Here's your own code that says you are supposed to have one, and here's the Constitution that says you're supposed to have one. How they, you know, they send you around, they put you on all these wild goose chases, and mm-hmm. it's really good for you to document it and record it so that you can have that proof, you know, that I was asking for this information from here, 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 and from these people who are supposed to have these bonds, and you're, you know, you have no luck with these bonds, so you're forced to go to the federal court because nobody wants to give the insurance information for the claim to be filed.
Yeah, that's how you're going to get it. You, when you file that claim against them in federal court, that 42 section 1983 lawsuit, and you ask for it, they call it indemnification or something like that, an indemnification agreement. They're going to give it to you. They're going to dance around the bush. They might give you, like, this is how they did me when I asked for it. They gave me everything except for the one piece of paper that I needed. So I had to look through all of this damn paperwork to see if they gave me everything. And then when I realized they left out one, I had to call the attorney and send him an email or something like that to get it. He eventually ended up giving it to me. He did that on purpose because that ain't no mistake. That ain't no mistake. You gave me all the rest of them except for the one that I need. I'm adding the links to the chat. I'm not sure if you're seeing them.
Okay, I'm going to look, but that was going to be my main question for that case, was the formatting of the motions and the question regarding the bonds. You know, when you're asking for these bonds, you know that these public officials, servants are supposed to have these bonds, and you can ask them for the bonds, and therefore they'll either tell you no or we're not supposed to have them, or they'll tell you to go to places that really have nothing to do with who, you know, the person or the facility that would house their bonds.
Well,
the sheriffs are in Jefferson County told me that they don't even have to have a bond, and I know that's a lie. You got to have a bond. You got to have some type of insurance.
Most of them do. It depends on, like, if they are duly elected public servants, like somebody from the school board, like a clerk for the court. In other words, what I'm getting at is if the people have to vote them in or something like that, if they're actually running for an official public office or something like that, generally speaking, they're going to have a bond. It's just a requirement. Now, real common law officers, I mean, they can hold their positions without bonds. Like a sheriff doesn't really need a bond. They do have them, but they don't really need them. I mean, the legislature, if I'm not mistaken, created that bond, if I'm not mistaken. But they do have bonds. All of them don't. They are not allowed to have their own bonds on them. They have to register their bonds somewhere in the public registry, like a Division of Risk Management. That's one name for it. Or I think in Indiana they don't call it risk management. I think they call it the Department of Insurance or something like that. Some of them have their own separate bonds. And some of them, not some of them, a lot of them are covered under one bond, in which they call a blanket bond.
Okay.
So it's a little tricky. It's hard to find that stuff. I'm not going to lie to you. It's hard to find it, but they do have them. Don't let their ass lie.
Yeah, but
to
it's not supposed to be hard to find that when you're interacting with a public servant, and when you ask for it, it's supposed to be given to you. It's just like an attorney, a judge, any of them. When you ask for it, it's supposed to be given to you.
Yeah,
first of all, you need to prove that you have the authority for this, whatever proceeding that we're in. If we're in this courtroom, then you need to prove to me that you're an attorney. I need your oath of office and your bonds. And majority of their oaths are deficient. They're not even the proper oaths. Don't have no seal. Then nobody executed. It just says judge. The judge of what? I mean, it's dirty all the way around. And it makes you wonder who's running the insurance company that they have their insurance with.
Man.
It's serious. It's heinous crimes.
I agree.
It's RICO crimes. I mean, it's so much. It's so nasty that it don't make no sense.
I agree. And they just keep on doing it and keep on. I seen some people. I was going down the, I was traveling down the road today, and I saw these two older black women out, and they were, they had all these signs out telling black people to protest because the police here, they didn't shot and killed somebody, but don't nobody really know about it. I didn't even know about it. They just swept it under the rug or whatever. But these women, I'm assuming that this is their son or nephew or brother or something like that. They know about it. And they had signs posted all around up and down the highway, but people are just passing by, just not paying attention. It's sad. It's like people just don't care. They just, unless it's bothering them, they just don't care until it's affecting them. And I hate that shit. It gets on my nerves. It really bothers me and gets on my nerves. And I'm not the type to protest. Yeah, I'm not going to protest. You might as well just leave the city if I got a problem with you. If you're a public servant and I report you and they don't do nothing to you, you might as well quit your job. That's all I'm going to say. You need to quit. You won't do it to nobody
else. Yeah, because
you're
a threat to the public. You know, like, this is some serious stuff. It's really bad. And like I was saying, my issue was with the formatting, because I understand the law, but to format it and make sure that I got this stuff bulletproof to where we really make some shake, because it don't make no sense.
It's easy. I promise you it's easy. It's easy. If you got the law, then you good. If you know how to apply the law to the facts of your case, you good. The format and all of it, it's all the same thing. All of it is the same exact thing. It works the same exact way. All of it.
Okay. All right, but I thank you. I thank Jerome for his talk and his resources, and I thank you for taking my call and answering my questions.
You're very welcome. Very welcome. Okay. Oh, was that caller? All right. let's see. Caller 4481. Good evening. How you doing?
Pretty good. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Just one day at a time, man. What can I do for you?
I was wondering, as far as criminal investigators, if I could ask a question about that.
Go ahead.
You know much about the United Nations Criminal Investigation Divisions?
No, I've actually haven't heard of it, but it wouldn't surprise me or shock me that they would have some sort of administrative agency like that.
Because I was wondering how, like, what a criminal investigator has to do, because I don't know much about it, when it comes to them going into dangerous territory and stuff like where they protect the public and protect themselves. You know how criminal investigators anywhere, federally or state or internationally, would, you know, how they would protect themselves and how they, you know, do prosecution and stuff like that.
I'm assuming that would, I mean, it seems like it would be very similar to a detective, you say a criminal investigator. So it's like they're investigating potential crimes or something like that against
investigating. Like one person I met, I'm not going to say the person's name. They investigated things like genocide and stuff all around the world, and they went into countries, but they dressed in regular clothing, but they went to dangerous territory and they got evidence and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. So they must be investigating like real crimes, like crimes against humanity, those types of crimes.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know too much about that. I'm not shocked about it though at all. But I don't really study that, so I can't really, you know, tell you much about it. You know, as far as the job detail description on what they're supposed to do. Stuff like that, I can't really tell you much about it. But I would say that it shouldn't be any different than standard detective work. Shouldn't be too much different.
Yeah.
Going under the cover, you know, in civilian clothing, probably get different names or something like that, probably changing their facial features, probably changing their eye colors, fake fingerprints, stuff like that. So I'm just being hypothetical. I really don't know if that's what they're actually doing. But I don't see why they shouldn't be doing that if they're going and, you know, investigating stuff like that, because that's very serious stuff.
Yeah. Because I was told that they carry firearms when they do that type of stuff and they carry handcuffs.
Probably. Probably do.
Because I know there's an FBI, FBI version that does, like, if American is harmed in another country or American harms another foreigner, that's mm-hmm. when FBI steps out. It's a specific FBI division that goes into other countries if someone is harmed by an American or American is harmed by some foreigner.
Mm-hmm.
They have a specific one for that with the FBI.
Okay. I don't really know too much about that, but like I said, you know, I'm not surprised about any of it, to be honest with you. I'm not. None of that stuff surprises me. I actually think that's a good thing, provided that they are actually doing, some good things. Hopefully that's what they're doing and not just using it as a tool to do the exact opposite.
And one of the things I'm going to say to you one more is a lot of times nowadays you can't depend on the people on the internet, especially specifically YouTube, to go after the actual misconduct of cops, because it's one in a million that do it. But anytime an officer actually does something wrong, you don't get the pushback you would as someone that's actually trying to get a frivolous lawsuit. You got a person that tries to get a frivolous lawsuit on YouTube, you got people backing that person up. But then when an actual victim of misconduct, or someone that would rather police stop a person for their status, immigration, than to stop someone that's you know, doing something really extremely suspicious with a rifle. And some of them have sorry about that. I'm going to let you speak. Sorry about that.
No, I was going to say, I understand what you're saying. I'm going to tell y'all something. I don't know. I'm not sure if I told y'all this, but I regret settling my lawsuit. The reason why I regret it is because nothing would happen to these police officers that I know of.
Yeah.
As far as them being sanctioned, them actually being punished, because the so-called money that I got, that didn't come from them. That came from the city's, those police officers, they were insured by that city. So the city's insurance company paid that lawsuit for them. I think I had a good reason for settling it, and my reason was because I didn't trust that district judge. I did not trust her at all. When you're litigating your case, you're not just going up against these two police officers. You are going up against the bar, because you're not supposed to bring your ass in here. Know what you're talking about and when. You're not supposed to do that. Like, they just, I don't know what's wrong with them people, but they just haters. They real haters. It's like that they are, what they call them, gatekeepers or something like that over justice. That's what it's like. It's like you have to be one of their colleagues to get damn justice. It's terrible, man. It's terrible. You can file a motion, be 100% right, and they will deny your shit one page, one sentence, and they won't tell you why. And they know exactly. They know that they're wrong for doing that. They know that your lawsuit or whatever it is has merit, and they will still do it. And now you have to go through an appeal. You have to pay probably about $400 or $500 for an appeal. Now you got to draft an appeal brief. Like, these people are—they just terrible, man. It's awful. They terrible. They just—it's ooh boy. They get on my damn nerves, man. They get on my nerves. But when you don't have the funds to do it, I mean, to hire an attorney, you got to do this shit yourself, man.
Right.
You're going to have to do it yourself, which means you're going to have to get your ass up, drive to that law library or get on a computer and read and study until you just tired or until you have a headache. That's what I did. That's exactly what I did. But they terrible, man. I don't advise anybody. If these police officers really did something bad, something that they should be in prison for, I don't advise anybody to settle that lawsuit. Go all the way to trial and hang their ass over, hand them over to the jury and let the jury render judgment against them. And then you need to file a Title 18, 241, 242 criminal affidavit against them and file it in the United States District Court. And hopefully the magistrate judge and the U.S. attorney do their fucking job. Hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully. I had a decent magistrate judge in my case. He treated me, I think he overall on a scale of 1 to 10, I would give him probably about a 7.5 to an 8. I followed all the rules. And when I didn't, he would strike some of my stuff and he would tell me, hey, look, you got to do this. He wouldn't tell me exactly, you know, what rule or whatever, but he would tell me that, like, the mistake that I made. So in other words, he would tell me what I needed to do without telling me what I needed to do. He would just give me little hints and stuff like that.
Right.
He advised me to settle my case. He advised both of the parties to settle the case. We were on the phone talking. He was like, listen, I just think y'all need to settle the case. That was him. As a matter of fact, when I went to the settlement conference, he didn't even have on a robe. He came in there in a business suit. I didn't know who the hell he was. I was waiting to see a damn judge. He came in the courtroom in a business suit. I don't mean to get off track here. Yeah, I do apologize for that, but it's terrible. Terrible. They don't get punished when you settle lawsuits. They don't get punished.
Right.
These people need to be punished. If you're going to take me to jail for smoking weed, then you need to do something to these motherfuckers for violating federal law, sovereign law, the people's law. They need to be sanctioned for that. And I don't mean just like no little smack on the wrist or no little 90-day suspension or something like they need to be made an example of them. You need to make a public nationwide example of them when they do stuff like this. Y'all, man, I read cases that's just, I just throw my hands in there. Sometimes I get mad. I just shake my head and sometimes I just don't do nothing because I'm getting desensitized to it.
One thing is a problem nowadays, people will say, I don't know, I wasn't there, just to, when it comes to one side, but then when it comes to another side, it means, they'll try to take one person's side, but then when it comes to somebody else, it's like, I don't know, I wasn't there. It's like, make up your mind. Too many people do that nowadays.
Man, these people, I remember one time I asked the judge, the so-called judge, we were in district court, and I said, Your Honor, I said, what makes this officer's testimony more credible than mine? Because you don't have any video evidence. He says I did this. I disputed and say that didn't happen. I did this. So what makes his testimony more credible than mine? This motherfucker couldn't give me no answer. He didn't have one answer for me. Not one. Y'all, I'm sorry. I have an extremely low tolerance when dealing with these people. Extremely low tolerance because I already know what to expect. That's sad that I already know what to expect when dealing with these people. They don't play fair. They don't play by their own rules. They made this shit up. We didn't make this shit up. They made this up. But they don't want to play by their own rules. But they want to hold you to the rules. It's crazy, man. It's crazy. I don't – listen, y'all, I don't advise anybody to settle no case. The only way you – like, if you feel like that you're not going to get any justice because they're going to be biased or prejudiced, you know, against you or something like that, then, yeah, settle the case. At least you get, I guess, something better than nothing. But if you don't feel like that, don't settle that case. And immediately, you need to file a Title 18, 241, 242 lawsuit against them, because if they violate your rights, I don't see how that they don't violate your rights criminally if they do it civilly. It don't make sense to me unless the elements are different.
And one more thing.
Go ahead.
I was on YouTube, and there was one person that was talking about, I watched stories about Mississippi Burning.
Uh-huh.
And this one person that had this black emoji of a woman was saying that, was talking about the race card and how the white guys got the black activists killed. But then when there was a guy that the same person with the same emoji saw a guy walking suspiciously with a AK-47 with a mask on his face trying to get a lawsuit, she defended him, but this so-called black woman didn't go against the actual thing that was actually in history, where we were actually racially, whether civil rights workers got murdered. She sat there and she defended that, those officers that did that. And I'm like, who are you? I almost, had I been on the internet, online about that, I would have put her in her place. Had I been on YouTube at that time.
When these people show you who they are, believe them. Somebody told me that one day. I think I heard Yusuf say that one day on his channel, Yusuf L, on High Frequency Radio. When they show you who they are, believe them. But I'm going to tell y'all, this is the problem, y'all. The reason these public servants are like this, that is the people's fault. You have to, man, it shouldn't be nobody going to no work. Do y'all know how much food costs now? I don't even like going to the store to buy food. It's fucking ridiculous. It shouldn't be nobody going to work, nobody paying bills. Nobody shouldn't be doing shit. Everybody should be at their state capitals right now until this shit gets fixed. This shit don't belong to them. This collectively, this is our shit collectively.
Right.
They don't run the show. Should nobody be doing nothing until this shit gets changed, man. It's terrible, y'all. Like, if y'all think these police officers bad, go read some cases on judicial immunity and see. They worse. Because they can do damn near anything. As long as they got jurisdiction, they can do damn near anything. Which is crazy. It's crazy, man. But can't nobody change that but the sovereign people in these so-called states. Because the sovereign people in these so-called states can change the Constitution whenever they want. They don't have to wait 5 to 6 years to amend the Constitution. They don't have to do that. You can change the Constitution whenever you want. And when I say whatever you want, I mean right now if you want to. Because all three branches of government belong to you. You do not belong to them. They are administrative agencies of the people. The law that they are administering is the state Constitution. That's what they're administering. That's why they're administrative agencies of the people.
Well, I got to go now. I appreciate talking with you.
Yeah, same to you, man. Enjoy, man. Enjoy your weekend, man. Be safe.
I will. Thank you.
All right. All right. Now that I have volume, I'm going to go ahead. Well, since the microphone is working, let me see how much time I got on this thing. I got enough time. I'm gonna play y'all this video with Casey Neville, the one I was playing earlier. I'll try to skip through it a little bit more to let y'all see it. It's about 10 minutes long. Give me a second. Let me find it right quick, y'all. Is it that? Here it is, right here. All right, I'm gonna screen share it too. Give me a second. Let me go back. I'm gonna screen share it so y'all can see it. Oh yeah. hold on, y'all. Now, if I want y'all to read this police officer's lips, this officer right here. Now, to me, it looks like he's saying we're going to break our oaths. That's what it looks like he's saying to me. So I'm going to rewind it because I want y'all to see it. It looks like he's saying we're going to break our oaths of office. That's what it looks like he's saying. All right, that's the end of that video, y'all. I'm gonna look at the chat right now. Somebody said, JR says, where can I find this original video? Okay, let me go to my YouTube channel because Casey, I did a video on it, and Casey, this video right here, he commented on it. So give me a second, JR. You're turn that volume down just in case. This is his channel right here, JR, right here. So I'm gonna go ahead and click on it. But anyway, let me I typed him some comments. I think there's supposed to be some more comments because I think he told me that they did this to him maybe two or three more times, if I'm not mistaken. But I want to be sure. So let me see if I can find it. Yeah, here it is right here. It says 3 days ago, I'm working on it. They have arrested me three more times since this incident and burying me in trumped up charges. That's what they'll do, y'all. They will do that. I'm not joking. They will do that. Making it difficult for me to focus on the litigation side of things. But I do have one suit filed, and there's this case number right there. That looks like a state court case number. I don't think that's federal. I could be wrong, but I don't think it's federal. But let me go ahead and show you. This is his YouTube channel. See if you can find the original video. Let's see. Okay, so I'm not sure if his video is actually on here. It's probably not. His video is probably not on here. So it looks like he's just posting other videos of, wait a minute, hold on. This might be his right here. Yeah, that's his video right there. 13 minutes or something. So JR, if you wanted to go and look, this is his YouTube channel right up here. And this is his, I'm assuming he did this video right here. I'm just going to guess. I don't really know. But that's how you find it. Let me go back to the comment section and see what's going on. Hey, Jerome, you stupid, man. I'm sorry to hear that, though, man, but, hey, that is funny. It's not funny, but I get what you're saying, man. I get it. So you can vouch for him, huh? You can vouch for him. Oh, boy. Excuse me, y'all. All right, let me I wanted to show y'all something. I forgot what it was, though. Let me go back. I'm gonna turn the screen share off, and I'm gonna get back to the phone line and see. Oh boy, boy, you a trip, Jerome. You funny, man. I got about 9 minutes on the air, so if you want to call in, you can call in. I got about 9 more minutes on the air. Oh boy, 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 boy. Okay. Do anybody have any questions in regards to you litigating cases right now in state court? Excuse me. Matter of fact, do I want to do that? Yeah, let me do something. I'm going to make sure, because I'm going to show y'all the complaint that I'm working on for somebody, but I'm going to make sure that, well, you know what? No, because it has the officers' names in it, and I don't want to do that. Not right now. So I'm not going to do that. But I'm working on a complaint for somebody. And like I said, they basically made materially false inculpatory statements against him. They withheld exculpatory evidence from him to try to get him convicted for 3 felonies. Long story short, he ended up beating the case on a motion to suppress hearing. And once he won the motion to suppress, the prosecution moved for an oral motion to null pros the case. And so now he's suing them. I'm gonna share this case with y'all. So, like, do any of y'all have any? You good, bro? Keep that tight. Let me see. I thank you support. I think you asked me a question. Let me go and see. I think somebody asked me a question in my community section. I got to go and see what it was. Cause I'm sorry. I be so busy sometimes, y'all. Let's see. Yeah, it says, in your opinion, what is the most tedious part of preparing a federal lawsuit outside of case law research? Preparing the lawsuit, in my opinion, is pretty easy. Right now, I don't have to leave my house to draft a lawsuit. I don't have to leave at all. But you said outside of law and research. So if it's outside of law and research, but you're saying preparing the lawsuit, I would say nothing. But now when you talk about litigating the lawsuit, I would say discovery. Because when you're going through discovery, they're not going to just give you what you're asking for willingly. Like, they're going to make you work for that shit. Like, they might make up a laundry list of meritless objections so that they won't give you this, so they don't have to, let me rephrase that, so they can stall out a little longer on giving you the evidence that you need to make your case. Because I know y'all probably don't know this, but in the ultimate facts section of your complaint, they're really just allegations. All you're doing is making allegations first. Once these allegations are considered, and the judge, whoever looks at it, the magistrate judge or the U.S. district judge, whatever, once they look at it and see that a right has been violated, these officers are not going to get immunity once they see that they're not entitled to qualified immunity. So once you make it past that stage, and then you go to a Rule 12 scheduling conference, I think that's what it is, that a Rule 12 scheduling conference is where you actually meet with their attorney, and y'all discuss the entire case, like, how many sets of interrogatories you're going to get, requests for admissions, how many depositions you're going to get, how long are the depositions, when is the trial date, how many days will the trial take, when will discovery start, when will discovery end. So it's just a bunch of stuff. After that, then you're just going through discovery. And discovery, I remember one time, like I said earlier, I was asking for evidence, because you're asking for evidence in support of your client, in support of your allegations and your complaint. So all the evidence that you're asking for, it needs to be relevant to proving the allegations in your complaint. So I was asking for, I remember I asked this attorney for, his client's financial information. And, he made up some BS excuses, and then he flat out told me after I had to go through some position papers, something like that. I got him on the phone. We started talking about it, and he just flat out said, I'm not going to give you my client's financial information. And I was like, all right. And so he didn't give it to me. We literally had to schedule a call with the judge so I can get this financial information. The judge ordered him to give it to me, though, by the way. But it's just little tedious stuff like that. They don't make this stuff easy for you, which I get it because, you know, he's an attorney. You know, he's a, you know, he don't want his clients to think that he's just, you know, he's not fighting for their rights and stuff like that, or whatever you want to get. I mean, whatever you want to call it. So I get it. But it's just the fact that you just have to go through that little tedious stuff. Like they will, these people will knowingly, they'll knowingly file a meritless motion for summary judgment, misrepresent all of the facts in the case. Let me rephrase that. Misrepresent all of the material facts in the case, meaning the facts that actually can determine whether if the case is ruled in their favor or your favor. They will actually do that. They will actually do that. That's what they did in my case. But we never made it to the, but before I got a chance to file my motion, I mean, my response in opposition to their motion for summary judgment, we just settled the case. But it's really discovery, in my opinion. It's discovery. That is, sometimes that's the longest part of the case. It depends on what it is. Like, you might be going through discovery for, shit, years. Mine only took probably about 6 to 8 months. So it didn't take too long, but, I mean, like 6 months to be going through discovery, in my opinion, that's long to be going through discovery, in my opinion. Let me get back to the chat and see what's going on. Make sure I ain't miss nothing. Keep that tight, JR. All right, cool, JR. So did you use e-filing or mail? I used e-filing support. That's what I did. So what you can do is when you go to that Rule 12 scheduling conference, when you talk to the attorney, what I did was it was just easier for me. I was like, look, man, I'm going to stipulate to service by email, meaning you can serve me all of your work that I need to see that you're trying to get admitted into evidence. You can just send it to my email address and we'll just, you know, you can just, you know, say it served like that. You know what I'm saying? Unless I tell you I didn't get it, something like that. But I got all my stuff via email. And then once I got the documents or whatever, I think, I'm not sure if the court had to approve it or, well, I don't really know, but I e-filed all of my documents. I think I might have went down to court maybe once or twice throughout the entire process of me litigating my lawsuit. Have a certificate of protest for a client and seeking summary judgment for a consumer claim. Let me go ahead and end that. What do you mean, support? You said you have a certificate of protest for a client and seeking summary judgment. Are you litigating the case for somebody? You helping somebody out? Well, Jerome, you funny, man. Jerome said you looked at me. Yeah, man. They're like, these people think that these people really think that you are beneath them. They do not think that we are on equal. Let me rephrase that, because we're not on equal footing to them because they're public servants. I need help because okay. You need help because you have a certificate of protest for a client and seeking a summary judgment for a consumer claim. Okay. Do you know how to beat summary judgment support? How you doing, Miss G? I wish you would have called in, Miss G. Let me see. For some reason, it's hiding. It's restricting your comments, Miss G. I don't know why. It says it's retracted or something like that. Dave Schuster does good reporting. No corpus delicti means no probable cause, no victim. So sorry. Yeah, that's another way to look at it. Yeah. That's another way to look at it. Is this? I think I'm going to read that case on here. I'll probably read it tonight. because I think I'm not going to read the entire case, but I actually just found this out I think today, and I think it's relevant. I think it's important. My client is the plaintiff and has completed an administrative process and has a certificate of protest as evidence and facts. Oh, so you're moving for summary judgment. That's what you're saying. So you want your client, you want to move for summary judgment for your client. Would that be correct? If that's correct, do you have the evidence in support of your motion for summary judgment? Okay, so if you have the evidence, then now you need to find the case law. Find the case law in support of your evidence to move for summary judgment. So basically the standard, if I'm not mistaken, is a movement, meaning the person moving for summary judgment, is entitled to summary judgment if you can show that there is no genuine issue of a material fact in dispute. And you are entitled to that judgment as a matter of law, meaning the law is, let's say, it's like this. Okay, well, based on these facts and this case law, you have to explain the court to, like, this is how they have to rule. In other words, you're directing them to rule on this way in your case because the law, as applied to the facts, say that they have to rule this way. I tried to explain it to y'all without confusing y'all. What about the 83? What do you mean the 83, Ms. G? What do you mean? I want to share something with y'all too. I'm gonna screen share it and share it with y'all in case y'all didn't know, because I didn't even know this. The guy who I'm helping, he actually gave me this case today, so I'm not gonna read all of it. I'm just gonna read the important parts, which is what they held, because I think that's very important, because they're known to null pros a case, and they won't tell you why they null pros the case. But before this court opinion that they just issued, you used to couldn't sue them if they null pros the case in some places of the country, unless you got a some sort of adjudicative express ruling or something like that stating that you were innocent of the so-called crime. The one issue is contemplating on whether or not to hire a bar attorney. Don't want to, but I cannot represent the client on his behalf. Yeah, you're gonna have to then, or you can explain it to him. She or he or whatever, you can explain it to them and let them go in there and do it if they are, you know, if they're capable of doing it. Let me read. Let me find this case right quick, and I'm gonna read it to you. What they held. Find the holding. And the probable cause is that I had advanced for the client to make an appointment. This case requires us to flesh out a favorable termination period. Does it suffice for a plaintiff to show that his criminal prosecution was commissioned? Almost a plaintiff demonstrated that the prosecution ended with some form, such as an acquittal or dismissal.
So I'm gonna
read y'all. What's important is what was held in this case. I'm going to screen share it and I'm gonna show you. I'll be back to the comment section in a minute, y'all. Give me a second. All right. So They did this April of last year. I didn't even know this until today, y'all, just to let y'all know. Thompson versus Clark. So I went through the case. I read probably about maybe 80% of the case. And I'm going to read y'all what is highlighted. Justice Kavanaugh delivered the opinion of the court. Larry Thompson was charged and detained in a state criminal proceeding, in state criminal proceedings, but the charges were dismissed before trial without any explanation by the prosecutor or judge. They will do that. I won't tell you nothing. After the dismissal, Thompson alleged that the police officers who initiated the criminal proceedings had maliciously prosecuted him without probable cause. Thompson sued and sought money damages from the officers in federal court. As relevant here, he advanced a Fourth Amendment claim under 42 Section 1983. He could have had more causes of actions against that. He probably did. To maintain that Fourth Amendment claim under 42 Section 1983, before they decided this case, a plaintiff such as Thompson must demonstrate, among other things, that he obtained a favorable termination of the underlying criminal prosecution. And this is where Heck v. Humphrey comes in at. So in other words, before they ruled on this case right here, if he did not get a favorable termination in his case stating that he was innocent, something like that. Well, I'll read it a little bit more because I don't want to confuse y'all. The case explains it anyway. This case requires us to flesh out what a favorable determination entails. Does it suffice for a plaintiff to show that his criminal prosecution ended without a conviction? Or must the plaintiff also demonstrate that the prosecution ended with some affirmative indication of his innocence, such as an acquittal or a dismissal accompanied by a statement from the judge that the evidence was insufficient? We conclude as follows. To demonstrate a favorable termination, of a criminal prosecution for purposes of the Fourth Amendment claim under 42 Section 1983 for malicious prosecution, a plaintiff need only show that his prosecution ended without a conviction. That's all you need to show. You don't have to show that you was innocent or anything like that. Right now, that's the standing case law. There's something I want y'all to see. So give me what I want to share that case with y'all. I'm going to turn screen share off right quick. Give me a second until I find this. I made a mistake trying to do a lawsuit and put in wrong court. And they said it nothing to do with the case, denied it, and took my son's house. They evicted everybody. What? I hate you going through that, Ms. G. I really do. Because that will, based on what you were telling me, that was a valid will. Based on what you're telling me, man, I just hate you. I can't stand these people. These people get on my damn nerves, man. They get on my fucking nerves when they do stuff like this to people. I mean, let me pull up this case right quick. Yeah, I'm going to get off. I'm not going to be on here all night. I got a headache right now. I'm going to read this one. Okay. So where is that argument at? It's going to be down. I think it was a Malaysian. Was it a malicious prosecution claim? I think it's this right here. But this case was decided before they decided the case that I just read. So you're not going to see that in here. Was that it? Let me see something. Individual capacity. I'm trying to find official capacity. Potential police prosecutor's claim against the city department. State analysis. Cure channel. On the death of Bonnie Canal. As long as these prosecutors claim are based on state law, the statute of limitations won't. Therefore, to the extent born and says to me, where is it at? It's somewhere up here. I think I might have got the wrong case, y'all. That's the Monell claim. We're not talking about Monell right now. Extension of fabricating this claim based on directly challenging. Although my dunks and Fourth Amendment, rather than fundamental, it's applicable to heck applies to the claims if I have them. Okay, yeah. This is it. So let me get back to the chat right quick. This Kate O. Thompson versus Clark. Man, I ain't even know about that case, JR. They turned your paperwork into a motion. Well, Ms. G, they probably did that, Ms. G, because it's substance over form. So it doesn't matter what the title of the document is. It matters what you're asking for in the document. If the judge is still a member of the bar, then he's wearing two hats and practicing law from the bench. Wouldn't a securitization audit be effective in removing him? To be honest with you, I'm not qualified to answer that question. I can tell you that they are wearing two hats, though. I can tell you that. They're probably wearing three hats. Ain't no telling. If you ask me, they're wearing a so-called judicial hat, but it's not just the judge doing that either. A lot of them are doing that. He's wearing an executive hat, and he's wearing a so-called legislative hat. Like when you go to court, let's say you go to court, and there are rules in this court, like, say, you can't wear a tank top in here, or you can't wear certain types of clothes in court or something like that. That rule has the same effect as the so-called law. So what I'm trying to get you to understand is you're in an administrative agency. It's an administrative agency. That's where you're at. That rule that they made up has the same effect as a so-called law, even though it's not law. It's quasi-legislative, or so to speak. JR, they just did that case last year. A little over a year ago. Yeah, somebody else might be more qualified to answer that, Chief. But yeah, they're all wearing multiple hats, all of them. They're wearing multiple hats. You don't know who you're dealing with unless you're looking at the paperwork to determine the nature of the action, and you're looking at the remedy that the plaintiff is asking for. It's very confusing, in my opinion. It is very confusing unless you can use that to your advantage to understand what's going on. Let's see. I'm going to read this. This is new to me, but it's interesting. So I'm going to read this to y'all because this may be applicable to somebody one day that's on my channel looking for some information. So let me go back to screen share. I'm going to turn the camera off, and we're going to screen share. All right. A Fourth Amendment claim for wrongful pretrial determination accrues when the wrongful detention ends, because Barnett has alleged that false statements provided the basis for probable cause determination against him. He has alleged that his detention remained wrongful even after he was formally charged. Detention predicated solely on police officers' false statement violates the Fourth Amendment, even after the onset of legal process. In such cases, wrongful detention claims based on falsified probable cause accrue upon the day upon the detainee's release. But hold on, y'all. Hold on. Because they're going to toll this cause of action that he has against these police officers. Because he can't sue them right now for that because his claims are Heck barred. They're barred by Heck v. Humphrey that I just read in that other case. Barnett's amended complaint reveals that he was released from custody on October 1st, 2016, more than 2 years before he filed his complaint. But the court must also consider the effect of ongoing criminal proceedings on Barnett's ability to bring suit on his wrongful detention claim. See that right there, Heck v. Humphrey? That's what they got to do. Barnett could not bring a Section 1983 suit concerning his confinement under the criminal, until the criminal proceedings terminated in his favor if the suit would necessarily imply the invalidity of an outstanding criminal conviction or sentence. In McDonough, the Supreme Court emphasized that Heck bar that the Heck bar extends to fabrication of evidence claims, claim based on evidence used to secure an indictment, given that such a claim directly challenges and thus necessarily threatens to impugn the prosecution itself. Although however you pronounce it, concerned a 14th Amendment fabrication of evidence claim rather than one based in the 4th Amendment, its application to Heck applies to Barnett's 4th Amendment claim. If, however, a conclusion that Sanders' confinement was unconstitutional would imply the invalidity of an ongoing criminal proceeding or a prior criminal conviction, then Heck would continue to bar Sanders' claim after his release and until either those proceedings terminated in his favor or the conviction vacated. So in other words, like for example, let's say you get convicted of something 10 years ago, but you get a new trial, you get retried all over again, and then you get adjudicated not guilty. You can sue what happened 10 years ago because under Heck v. Humphrey, you're precluded from litigating that case. So since you're precluded from litigating the case, it's like it's tolled, T-O-L-L, it'll toll it. Here, Barnett alleges that the Chicago police had no information to lead them to believe that Barnett had committed a crime. Aside from the false assertions in the arrest report, Barnett's wrongful detention claim centers on evidence used to secure, an indictment at a criminal trial, and so directly challenges and thus necessarily threatens to impugn the prosecution itself. Accrual date for unlawful detention claim based on fabrication of evidence governed by Heck. This means that the claim did not accrue until Barnett's acquittal on December 2nd, 2016. Making the filing of his complaint on December 3rd, 2018, timely. Unlawful pretrial detention claim based on fabricated evidence did not accrue until the plaintiff's sentence was vacated and charges were dismissed. It's told. Therefore, the statute of limitations does not bar Barnett's wrongful detention claim based on fabrication of evidence. That is a good case. That's a good argument. I'm curious to see what would change based off what I just read in regards to Thompson v. Clark. He wearing a friendship hat. Appreciate it. Man, that's why I filed malicious prosecution. In any case, with a criminal complaint in state. Hold on. Let me see. Oh, JR. He says, that's why I filed malicious prosecution. In any case, we the criminal complaint in state is this okay? In any case, when the criminal complaint in state is dismissed, man, you need to go. It's not just a malicious prosecution claim; it's all that, because it's like
if they violated all your rights. That's assault, battery. It wouldn't be considered a deprivation of liberty. Well, yeah, I mean, temporary, yeah, but I mean, that would be, it wouldn't be a due process claim. It would be a Fourth Amendment claim of unlawful imprisonment, something like that. In April 2022, up to 10 years or later to still file a complaint. What do you mean, support? I'm a little lost. What do you mean? How long have I been on? I've been on here almost 3 hours. I was not coming on here. I was not planning on staying on here for 3 hours, y'all. They trying my paper too much, man. I forgot I was screen sharing, but this is a good case, y'all. This is a very good case. So this is why you need to read cases, because this is how you get around statutes of limitations. That's why I just read this to y'all, because this allows you, if you're filing lawsuits against these people and you're late sometimes, so-called late, this will allow your lawsuit to proceed if you file it beyond the statutes of limitations, because that's what they tried to argue in this case. They tried to argue that his him filing this lawsuit was untimely. Let me get back. I'm gonna turn the screen share off. Turn the camera back on. I'm about to get off here, y'all. I'm tired. Was he able to file up to 10 years, or is there no statute of limitations? Up to 10 years? I don't understand your question, support. What do you mean? Are you talking about the case that I just read with him filing his lawsuit? Was it late or something like that? Is that what you're saying? Let me go back and see. Let me see. Was he able to? It's 2 years in that case. In that case, I think it's 2 years. Let me see. What about tort claims? Let me see something. He was released from custody in 2016. But he didn't file this lawsuit did not get filed until 2020, y'all, just to let y'all know. Let me go back up. I'm going to screen share it again, because I forgot to tell y'all some stuff about it. So I'm going to screen share it again. Okay. So let's go back up. I'm going to tell y'all some of the facts, okay? This happened in 20. He started litigating the case in 2020. If I'm not mistaken, let me go back down. I think he started litigating this case in 2018. Let me see something. I might be wrong. As it at? I think I just passed it. As it is, I'm trying to find it, y'all. Give me a second. Statute of limitations. Barnett's real plan. He was released from custody October 1st, 2016. This means that the claim, he was released from custody in October. This means that the claim did not accrue until Barnett's acquittal on December 2nd, 2016, making filing of his complaint on December 3rd, 2018 timely. What is that footnote at? Let me see what that footnote says. Federal Rule Civil Procedure 681C, when computing time, the court must include the last day. Oh, okay, that's why they did that, the last day of the period. But if the last day is a Saturday, Sunday, or legal holiday, the period continues to run until the next day. Okay, that's why they did that. Okay. But I need to go back up and read what happened. I think I left out some stuff. I don't see any dates on here. I'm looking for the dates. Okay, right here. On or about September 28, 2016, Harry Bennett bought an inoperative scooter from his former coworker Daniel Santos for $60. After Barnett listed the scooter for sale on Craigslist, he was contacted by an interested buyer, including Chicago police officer Alexander Kaliski or whatever. Barnett and Kaliski arranged to meet on September 30th, 2016, so that Kaliski could view the scooter. Kaliski believed his own scooter had been stolen and that the scooter in Barnett's possession was his stolen property. After viewing the scooter, Kaliski and others, these cases be funny as hell sometimes, y'all. Kaliski, or however you pronounce that, and other Chicago police officers arrested Barnett based on his possession of the stolen scooter and took him to a police station. Kaliski and other police officers questioned Barnett, who provided them with contact information for Santos as well as documentation of his purchase of the scooter from Santos. Kaliski then prepared an arrest report in which he stated that Barnett made no attempt to identify the owner and failed to take reasonable measures to restore the property to the owner, intending to deprive the owner permanently of use, blah, blah, blah. Bennett asserts that he was never asked about anything that would lead Kaliski to believe those facts. Based on the arrest report, superior officers approved probable cause for Barnett's arrest and detention on the charge of theft of lost, mislaid property. So he was formally charged September 30th, 2016, and he was detained until 3 a.m. October 1st. 2016, the judge released for Barnett on an I-bond. So I'm guessing that that's not a recognizance. That required him to petition the court for permission to leave Illinois. The judge denied his request for permission to travel to his home, Florida. At some point between his release on December 2nd, 2016, Barnett met with the prosecutor on his case. Cook County Assistant Attorney Angelica Griffin Johnson worked under the state's defendants, blah, blah, blah. So this is in this started in 2016. I wonder why is this opinion on here for 2020? They must have been litigating that case for that long. They had to be litigating this case for 2 years. I'm not sure if they settled it or what, but it's 2 years. Let's see. What about tort claims? Well, you know I'm going to hit them with bare minimum 20 counts. JR, you a fool, boy. Super familiar. Yeah, that's Joseph, I'm sorry. Y'all looking at a black screen? I'm sorry, man. I didn't turn the screen. Oh, my God. I'm sorry. Man, I'm sorry, man. Why y'all didn't tell me? I'm so sorry, y'all. I did not know the screen was black when I was reading. I'm so sorry. This is the case that I was reading right here, y'all. I'm so sorry. I did not know that. I thought I turned the screen share on, y'all. My apologies. I did not know that. This is the case what I was reading right. I'm going to show you the case, Joseph. This is the case right here. This is the case that I'm going to send you. This is the case I'm going to send you that I was talking to you about earlier today. This is the case. It's very, very similar to yours. Very similar. Man, damn screen black as hell, man. I'm sorry, y'all. Sorry about that. Anyway, y'all, I need to get off here, man. I've been on here 3 hours, 3 damn hours. Ugh, I'm tired, y'all. I got to go. I got a headache now, y'all. I really do. Before I leave, do anybody have any more questions? Any more questions before I leave? If you haven't, hit that like button. Stop being stingy with that like button. If you haven't already, go ahead and hit that like button, and I really appreciate it if you did.
Any more questions before I go, y'all? I'm going to turn screen share off and just get back to the camera. Any more questions? I'm about to get on up out of here because I'm tired, y'all. How do you stay healthy while learning? Man, sometimes I don't eat meat often. Support. I don't. And when I do eat it, I eat lamb. L-A-M-B, lamb. I also, I jog sometimes. I go jogging. I try to stay away from sugar and processed foods. I try my best, but that sugar got me, y'all. It got me in a chokehold. But I've been doing good. I try to eat a lot of fruit and everything like that too. Cause I've been a vegetarian before I started back eating meat. Probably about 12 or 13 years. I just started back eating meat this year. Probably about maybe 6 months ago, six to 8 months ago. I just started back eating meat, but I don't eat it often. All right, y'all. Well, everybody enjoy your weekend. Be safe. If you get stopped by the police, shut up, play dumb, look at name tags, and remember everything. What's the state fruit in Alabama? Hell, I don't know, support. I don't even know, man. I don't know. I got to get up off here, man. Let me get up off here, y'all. I'm tired. Everybody enjoy your night, man. Good night. Let's see.